Our gospel lesson today is from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Jesus and his followers went into Capernaum. Immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and started teaching. The people were amazed by his teaching, for he was teaching them with authority, not like the legal experts. Suddenly, there in the synagogue, a person with an evil spirit screamed, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One from God." "Silence," Jesus said, speaking harshly to the demon. "Come out of him." The unclean spirit shook him and screamed. Then it came out. Everyone was shaken and questioned among themselves, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He even commands unclean spirits, and they obey him." Right away, the news about him spread throughout the entire region of Galilee. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God living and dwelling in our hearts. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. So, I want to talk first about the Deuteronomy passage. That passage actually starts with the words, forget about this thing being here. "The Lord your God will raise up a prophet from your fellow Israelites. He's the one you must listen to." And this is the voice of Moses. This is Moses talking to the Israelites. They are still in the wilderness at this time. And Moses, when he's referring to the request that the people made to God, is referring to a text from Exodus that goes like this. "When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the horn and the mountain smoking, the people shook with fear and stood at a distance. And the people said to Moses, 'You speak to us and we'll listen, but don't let God speak to us or we'll die.'" The people, the Israelites in the wilderness, felt that to look on God, to hear God's voice, they would die. But Moses had been able to go up on Mount Horeb and receive the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, from God. Moses had talked to God. Moses had heard God's voice, and Moses was still alive. They were afraid that once Moses died, who was going to speak for God? Moses had been telling them what God wanted them to do, but when Moses was going to die, before they entered the promised land, what were they going to do without a prophet like Moses? And God is answering them. He is telling them about the prophet that they would raise up, a prophet like Moses who would be God's voice. He is also warning them about true prophets and false prophets. Now, technically, this is not a prophecy about Jesus, although it can be used to talk about Jesus. Jesus was a prophet, like many of the Old Testament prophets, the Hebrew Scripture prophets, Isaiah and Micah, Jeremiah, Amos, Hosea, and a few more, and I can't remember all of them at this point. But all those were the prophets that God had promised to send after Moses to keep the people being able to hear God's voice. And then we come to today. We come to our scripture lesson where Jesus has gone with the four disciples that he called in our scripture last week, Simon and Andrew and James and John. He's gone into Jerusalem, and he has gone immediately to the synagogue, to the temple in Jerusalem, on Sabbath. Now, I titled my sermon something about Jesus, our boundary-breaking Jesus. And Jesus being in that synagogue on Sabbath, well, that was okay. He was a Jew. what was boundary breaking about it was he was a Jew, but he was not a trained elder. He was not a rabbi. He had not had all of the training that the scribes had in the Hebrew law. So why was he teaching? He should not have been teaching. He broke that boundary there, but he also broke another boundary. He cast out demons on a Sabbath. One of the laws was this: you were not to work at all on a Sabbath. You were not to carry things. You were not to take care of your animals. You were not to do a lot of things. Yet Jesus cast out demons on the Sabbath. Later on in some of the Gospels, you hear about Jesus and his disciples gathering grain on the Sabbath so they could feed themselves. So this is our boundary-breaking Jesus. The prophets had earned their authority to teach whatever they would do in the temple because of what they had learned. But Jesus, on the other hand, as I told the children, didn't have to learn. Jesus had his authority from God. In other words, the scribes' authority depended on their own knowledge of and adherence to the Torah and to tradition. But Jesus' authority comes from God. And in this story today, Jesus was having a boundary dispute. Not so much with the scribes, although I'm sure they were not happy with him taking their job. But the boundary dispute here is between Jesus and an evil spirit. Remember again, Jesus' authority comes from God. So maybe this boundary dispute is between God and the evil spirit. But as I told the children, Jesus has authority over everything. So he was able to break that boundary. He was able to cast out this demon. In the Gospel of Mark, this is the first time that Jesus has used his authority. This is the first time he has taught. This is the first time he has said anything about the good news. And what happens here? What happens when Jesus does this? This story spreads Jesus' fame through all of Galilee. The scripture tells us that Jesus could be, later scripture in the Gospel of John tells us that Jesus is this promised prophet. Because in John, the Gospel writer says, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you from your own people a prophet like me.' You must listen to whatever he tells you, and it will be that everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be utterly rooted out of the people." Scary. Scary to think that if we don't listen to God, we don't listen to Jesus, what's going to happen? So, how do you tell the difference between a true and a false prophet? Well, one thing is this: a true prophet spreads love and compassion. That is God's covenant with God's people. And today, with us, the true prophet spreads love and compassion. So, what are we to do? How are we to listen? Do we listen to people that spread hate? Do we listen to people that spread false rumors? Well, we can't get away from it for the most part. But we have to care. We have to take responsibility when we hear news stories or when we hear somebody tell us gossip or when we hear somebody tell us stories that we think are a little fishy. You know, it's like, God is saying to you, listen, are these the words of a true prophet? And here are five things that I found this week from a theologian. Who speaks for God and how do we know? Number one, The true prophet doesn't seek to be a prophet. If you look at Hebrew scripture, you'll find Isaiah was going to say no. Moses was going to say, no, God, I ain't going to do that. Even Jonah last week, even as bad as he was, Jonah told God no. And yet Jonah went and spoke the word of God in Nineveh. And Nineveh changed. Nineveh was transformed. The true prophet seeks neither self-promotion nor riches. Now, we all need money to survive in this world. Unlike the prophets and the priests of old who depended on their congregations or the people, the other Israelites, the people coming to the temple to support them, we don't have that luxury. But there's a difference between having enough to have an abundant life and being extremely rich and not sharing it. The true prophet speaks God's word, not their own. In Hebrew scripture, this was often started with the what we would call in academic life the formula, the words, thus says the Lord. Jesus and some of the gospel writers often used, verily I say to you, thus says the Lord, verily I say to you. I'm not going to say that, but think about the true prophet speaks God's word, not their own. The true prophet bears a family resemblance to what has come before, yet speaks new words into new situations. If the prophet's words contradict what we already know about God, they should be suspect. And this is one of my favorite. The true prophet and the false prophet are known by their fruit. Do their words lead to transformation or complacency and self-absorption? This past week in our adult small group meeting, we each shared our favorite Bible verse. Mine comes from Galatians chapter 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. What is the fruit of the words that you are hearing? What is the fruit of the words that you use? And above all, God's authority is marked by love. If authority isn't marked by love, if the words of a prophet are not marked by love, they are false. My Hebrew professor taught me this way. If your interpretation of scripture allows you to step on somebody's neck, then your interpretation is wrong. So who speaks for God? The good news for us is there will always be prophets preaching God's word. And if you look through history, there has never been a point in time when all has been right with the world. But God has always been there, and God has always sent prophets. So look for those true prophets in your life. Pay attention to those true prophets in your life. And may you be a true prophet of God, because Jesus has given us authority as his believers, as his followers, to do just that. May it be so. Amen.